Cheeseheads, welcome to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and we are getting ready for a Green Bay Packers NFL playoff divisional round matchup against the Atlanta Falcons Saturday night, 7 p.m. Good morning. It's playoff time, folks. Do or die time. You know, I just want to lead off with heading into the playoffs. There was no way I thought the Packers could win 3 road games and make it to the Super Bowl. I mean, think about that. 3 road games. Yeah, I know it's been done, what was it, once by the Pittsburgh Steelers? Not too long ago. What was that, 2006? So there's precedent that's been set. But what is that, one team out of how many? You know, how many 6 seeds have there been in the playoffs in the NFL that haven't done that? You know, the Steelers were 1 of 60. So the Packers have a 1 in 60 chance of winning 3 road games and making the Super Bowl. But my mind is being changed. The Packers are just playing so well lately. You know, this streak that began late in the regular season when they needed to win the final 2 games to win out. Need to beat the Giants. And then the Bears, 2 pretty good teams, winning records. Then to go on the road at Philadelphia, beat Michael Vick. My mind is being changed. I'm being swayed. I went into this week thinking I can't pick the Packers to win in Atlanta, a place they've already lost this season. But I think I might just do that. I'm thinking like something 2017, 2217. I don't know, somewhere in that score range there. You know, I'm positive. I'm being very positive. And if the Packers happen to win this game against the Falcons, I mean, what more could you ask for? You got a 1 game shot to get to the Super Bowl against 2 very beatable teams in Chicago and Seattle. That's getting ahead of myself. Forget that for now. Let's get to the news of the day. There's a link to today's Packers Daily Links at the top of the live blog. Feel free to click that and follow along today. Please remember that all tweets with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV will get through to our show, will get through to the blog. There's nobody approving comments, so being moderated entirely by Twitter today. So please feel free to do that. Here's today's Packers Daily Links. Maybe they're not. I might not be able to show today's Packers Daily Links today. Just a little computer flaw for those of you watching live, but feel free to follow along on your own, of course, as I said. Links are up there at the top of the live blog. The top story today. Packers have a short work week. Packers are done with practice for the week already. Of course, this being a Saturday game, everything's moved up a little bit. And they're on the road this afternoon already, heading to Atlanta. Top story comes today from Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Just talking about some of the challenges the Packers have faced this week, with it being a short week and 1 less day to prepare for the Falcons. He writes, quote, with the Packers assigned to the Saturday NFC Divisional Playoff game at Atlanta, McCarthy, head coach Mike McCarthy, was forced to make some significant changes to his practice and meeting schedule this week to try to save his players' legs. Instead of practicing Wednesday through Friday, the week went Tuesday to Thursday. And reportedly, Packers are having some more meetings this morning, perhaps right now as we speak, up through this afternoon before they prepare to get on a flight this afternoon for Atlanta. Going to spend the night there, and game tomorrow evening. Going to spend a long day leading up to that game. But, Packers, short work week. They move on. They push on, regardless. And taking a look at some of the comments on the live blog, catching up here. Just the comments are, Illinois Pack fan, one game at a time. John Rahor says, you gotta believe. Packer HQ, keys to the game, consistency in all phases, and no turnovers. That will be tough. That will be a stiff task that the Packers are facing. No turnovers. Wrote an article about it earlier this week, I think 2 days ago, on Cheesehead TV, if you're to check out the archives. Packers and the Falcons are two of the better teams in the entire NFL in both getting turnovers and not turning the ball over. Giveaways and takeaways, turnover ratio. Packers are fourth in the NFL in turnover ratio at plus 10. Only team in the NFC that's better than them, the Atlanta Falcons, who are plus 14. Matt Ryan does not make mistakes. That's one of his best attributes as a quarterback, one of the reasons he made the Pro Bowl this year. Some can argue that Aaron Rodgers deserved to go to the Pro Bowl ahead of him. I would make that argument. We've been through that before. But anyhow, he doesn't turn the ball over. And, the strong Atlanta Falcons running game, spearheaded by Michael Turner, helps him out in that regard. The running game of the Falcons puts Ryan at a position to succeed. So he very rarely is put into situations where he has to make a play, where he's got to force balls. So that's why the Falcons don't turn the ball over that often. That and, Michael Turner doesn't fumble all that much, or their running game doesn't. And the Packers don't either. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a very good protector of the ball. You saw it earlier this season. He went 5 straight games without throwing an interception. Pretty impressive. One of those games being the first Falcons game. But, of course, Rodgers went down there, turned the ball over, fumbled on the goal line on the quarterback sneak at the 1 yard line. And that was the only turnover the Packers had all day last time. November 28th, week 12 of the regular season, I believe. So it'll be tough. Packers defense is going to be forced. I think the Packers can go without turnovers. They've shown that they can't. Running backs have not lost a turnover, have not lost a fumble all season. So why start now? Some might argue that it's time for them to fumble. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Well, they haven't done it all season long, so we just got to hope they don't do it again. Aaron Rodgers protects the ball very well, so I'm confident the Packers may not turn the ball over. The defense has got to force them, though. They got to stop Michael Turner in order to force some things like 3rd and 10. Now, when you put a team in 3rd and 10, now they have a chance to turn the ball over. Matt Ryan has a chance to throw an interception where he's going to be forced to make a play, forced to get a first down, forced to make a touchdown. That's when the mistakes come, when the pressure's on. The Packers are bringing 5 on the blitz, maybe even 6. Who knows? Of course, sometimes they go 3. Which, interestingly, article today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Bob McGinn. You know, everybody harps on Dom Capers and the three-man rush. Well, as an interview showed with Bob McGinn, the Packers have been very effective in their three-man rushes this year, not in getting to the quarterback, but the outcomes of those plays. You know, they typically put more in coverage. So, sorry, folks. Dom Capers is very happy with the three-man rush. You know, of course, it doesn't always work. But, you know, he mixes things up. Again, taking a look at some of the comments on our live blog here. Packer fan John comments, obviously the short week hurts the Packers health-wise, but you have to think this team is eager to get back on the field ASAP. No doubt, Packers have said as much. Players interviewed this week, they're ready to get out there. They know they have momentum on their side. They're ready to play. They're ready to move on. John Rahor comments, how will the long time off for the Falcons affect them? That's my question. And that is a good question. And it's different, it seems, for every team in the NFL. Some use that time off to their advantage. They get healthy. They have more time to prepare. Some, it seems, they might get a little rusty. It's different for every team. And I suppose you don't find out until the game itself. Illinois Pack fan says, we have to stop Turner. I think that's abundantly clear. Packers have to stop Turner this week. And it's not an easy task. It's going to be different than the Eagles game. Of course, right before the Philadelphia Eagles game, hour and a half before game time, Packers released their inactive list, and who's on it but Howard Green, defensive tackle, big body, 350, probably more than that, pounds. Kind of surprised everyone, just because he's been active every game this season. Turned out to be a wise choice. The Packers didn't really need Howard Green to stuff the run in Philadelphia, but they will this week at Atlanta. You can guarantee Howard Green is going to be on the 45-man active list this week. Packers are going to play a ton more base this week. And it'll be interesting to see how they balance that, how much base they run as opposed to the nickel. Just saw an interview, I think it was on ESPN. Was it during Mike and Mike in the Morning? I even forget, some talking head was on, and he was saying how the Falcons have to run when the Packers are in their nickel package. You know, with only two down linemen, four linebackers, five defensive backs. And, you know, I can see the Falcons running on them in those situations, but not when it's third and 10, though. You know, of course, the Packers are going to, on first down this week, they're going to be in the base defense. They're going to have those big bodies on the field in the 3-4. You're going to see Howard Green, B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett. They're going to make it as tough as possible for the Packers, for the Falcons to run on them. So you know, the Packers may have success on something like first down, holding them to a yard or two. And then that's when the real decision comes for Dom Capers. That's when the real decision comes. Okay, it's 2nd and 8. Are you going to keep the base defense on the field in 2nd and 8? Or are you going to put the nickel on the field? You put the nickel on the field, yeah, the Falcons may very well pound on you then with more Michael Turner. So that'll be a tough choice. Because that's, you know, let's say, just for example, it's 2nd and 8. Packers go to the nickel. Falcons run Turner, gets 6 yards. Now it's 3rd and 2. Well, that's a very favorable situation for the Falcons, 3rd and 2. They can pound Turner again. You think 2 yards is hard for a guy like Michael Turner? No, it's not. And then just to mix things up, they can throw the ball. They've got Roddy White. They've got Tony Gonzalez getting 2 yards in the passing game from a guy that protects the ball like Matt Ryan. They got that option as well. So it's really like going to be second down where a lot of this game will be made, I think. It's going to be some tough choices for the defense. You're going to keep that base on the field, and you're going to go to the nickel. Nickel's been bread and butter this season for the Packers. They run that about 60% of the time, just a rough estimate. I don't think I'm too far off base with that either. We will see. Midwest fan says, Green Acres, Howard Green. Is he going to be the man this week? Going to be tough to run up the middle. But Michael Turner, that's not where he... up the middle is not where he made a living in the first game this season against Packers. Packers Falcons, week 12. Michael Turner exploited the edges right off the defensive line. He didn't run up the gut too often when the Packers had their big bodies in there. It was just off the edges. Just past those outside linebackers, you know, forcing cornerbacks, things like that, to make tackles on this big guy. Not easy. And, of course, that's why the Packers had a poor tackling game week 12 as well. Worst tackling game of the season. Got a lot of attention that week. Not easy. If you want to call into the show, the phone number is area code 646-797-2909. Feel free, call in. How do you think the Packers are going to do this week against the Falcons? Are they going to stop Michael Turner? What are they going to do? The Packers going to run base defense? They're going to go with the nickel? Last week they went with a lot of dime, more dime than they have all season long. I don't think you'll see that as much against the Falcons. Anyhow, if you want to chime in, feel free. Don't let me control this show. I want to hear what you have to say. Other news today. Second story down in today's Packers Daily Links, if you're following along, has to do with defensive coordinator Dom Capers. He was reportedly a candidate for the Denver Broncos head coaching job. Well, the Denver Broncos hired a head coach. If you click the link to the second story down, it takes you to Packer Report, part of the Scout.com network, and an article from Bill Huber. He writes, quote, reportedly the Denver Broncos were interested in interviewing Capers to replace Josh McDaniels, but team vice president John Elway on Thursday announced the hiring of John Fox, the recently fired coach of the Carolina Panthers. So, Dom Capers, no more a candidate at Denver. In fact, the head coaching positions in the NFL are drying up. There's only one left right now in Oakland, and that could be the last one. Could be the last head coaching position open in the NFL, depending on what happens with the rest of the teams in the playoffs. I can't see too many playoff teams firing their coach. But Dom Capers, you know, appears to be safe, appears to be the Packers defensive coordinator for another season, at least. I don't think he was ever really too serious of a candidate as far as getting a head coaching job. Maybe he was on some lists out there, but I think Dom Capers was it was pretty safe bet he would be in Green Bay next season. Kind of interesting. I still haven't found anywhere, and I think I remember looking earlier this week. It was a couple days ago now, and the memory's a little hazy in my mind, but there was never really a whole lot reported on Dom Capers' contract, you know, how long it was. Was it 2 seasons? Was it 3 seasons? I think one of the beat reporters asked him this week, and he replied that he'll be in Green Bay next season for sure, or something like that. So he must have signed at least a 3-season contract. But interesting, he's done such a good job in Green Bay. You know what? Everybody is arguing that the Packers have to keep him. They should give him a raise, do what it takes to keep him around. And I agree. I mean, heck, I would make Dom Capers one of the highest paid coordinators in the NFL. I don't know what the highest one is paid, but I would make him one of the highest paid coordinators in the NFL. Doesn't count against any salary caps that may be coming back next year once they hammer out a new collective bargaining agreement. Coaches' salaries don't count. So go ahead. I think that's money well spent. Especially with a guy, the track record of a Dom Capers. I mean, he's not a one-year wonder. He's done it before in the NFL. Yeah, before coming to Green Bay. Track record as a head coach, not that good. But as a coordinator, as putting together a defense, and these past 2 seasons in Green Bay have been remarkable, fabulous. Very good job. Packer fan John says, "In Dom we trust." John Rahor says, "Capers isn't going to Oakland. No one in their right mind would go to Oakland." Well, someone's going to Oakland. I realize that's kind of a weird situation there with Al Davis. But I think if they get the right coach, they're a team on the rise. I love Darren McFadden. I loved him from his days in Arkansas. He is just such a talent, and he kind of started to put it together this year. You know, I think that offense can revolve around him out there. Yeah, they need to find a quarterback. They need to find a quarterback in Oakland, a long-term solution. Looks like they're losing Namdi. That was the big conversation last episode of Railbird Central on Tuesday. I think we can put that conversation to rest for a little while, till the off season at least. Be interesting, but I don't know how realistic Namdi Asamoah is to the Green Bay Packers. We've been there. That's old news. Elsewhere in Green Bay Packers news today, what else is going on? Third story down. Coming from Rob Reichel of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, writes for their Packer Plus publication, also their Packer Insider section of the website, their pay section. Interviewed Brandon Jackson. Brandon Jackson's going to be a upcoming free agent after the season. Kind of asked him about that, about being a free agent, about his time spent in Green Bay. And Reichel had this to say, quote, "Jackson, whose contract ends after the 2010 season, was asked if he thinks he'll be a Packer next year. Interestingly, Jackson spoke in the past tense." Even Jackson, not really too sure he'll be with the Packers next year. And I think we've been through here before on Railbird Central as well, and I think that would be a shame. You know, I certainly think that you try to bring him back next year as a third down back and pay him accordingly. There's a little bit made in that article that Jackson hasn't been contacted about a contract extension. And, you know, I'm really not sure why the Packers would. You know, why are you going to talk extension during the season with a guy who's not really at the top of your list of re-signings? You know, no reason to think he's even, you know, worthy of, you know, more than he's worth. So, you know, I can't blame the Packers for not talking extension with Brandon Jackson. Once the season ends, you know, great, yeah, talk. You know, If he wants to test the free agent market, you know, feel free. No, teams are not going to be banging down his door, clamoring to get Brandon Jackson, other than for the same thing the Packers want him for, as a third down back next year, or should want him for at least. You know, Brandon Jackson, he's so impressive to me in that third down role. I've said it before, perhaps one of the best in the NFL is a third down back. The blocking is impeccable, and his receiving skills are just improved seemingly yearly, every season. Just taking the screen pass for a touchdown last week. I mean, fantastic stuff from Brandon Jackson, but that's it. Third down, you stick there. John Rahor comments, Jackson, Jones, Jenkins, lots of decisions to be made in free agency. No doubt. Jamie Lee comments, I agree that we should keep B-Jax as a third down back. No one else is going to pay him starter money. He'll probably stay. Probably. Probably. I can see Brandon Jackson staying. Think the Packers should offer him a contract when the season ends. Be nice to see him back, just as long as he is he's not the featured back. He's behind Ryan Grant and James Starks next season. And I see the Packers being, you know, they have those three guys, and they got Kuhn as an emergency halfback as well, or a short yardage guy. You know, I can see that being the backfield next year and not having to worry about getting anybody else, having to worry about to draft anyone or, you know, sign anyone in free agency. Not that the Packers really would anyway. They basically stay out of free agency unless they see value. And I mean, the draft, Ted Thompson just goes best player available regardless of position. So, you know, maybe they do draft a running back if that's what that's where they think the best player is. We will see. Brandon Jackson, though, he could play a large role on Saturday, tomorrow. You know, here's how I think it'll go down. He'll still get the start. You know, just, you know, there's a little bit of notoriety that comes with being a starter, and the Packers aren't going to take that away from Brandon Jackson because of how well he plays in other phases of the game. But don't get your panties in a bundle if you see Brandon Jackson start on Saturday night. We've been through this before. The term start is a little bit overrated because it only means the player who plays the first snap of the ball game. That's all start means. Very well, Brandon Jackson could play the first play of the game and then not really see the field a whole lot after. So that's how I think it'll go down. I mean, what matters to me, that I believe James Starks deserves to get a bulk of the carries. I believe he deserves to get 20-some or so again. Hopefully he'll get 20-some carries, unlike the first time in Atlanta this season when the Packers only ran the ball dozen times. I know it was more than that, but you know, I think Brandon Jackson maybe only got a dozen carries, and he was the leading rusher among running backs. Aaron Rodgers was your leading rusher in Atlanta the first time around. Had 50 yards. Good for Aaron Rodgers, but bad for the running backs, though. Means they weren't doing their job. It's 8:30. I'm going to take a break here, folks. Stick around. When we come back, we're going to talk about Greg Jennings and the Packers wide receivers. Talk more about the matchup against the Falcons and doing a little over-under again like we did a week ago. Stick around. We'll be right back shortly. Welcome back to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and we're breaking down Packers' upcoming playoff matchup against the Atlanta Falcons Saturday night, 7 p.m., Still got more than 24 hours to go, more than a day yet to wait. It's going to be a long wait. Saturday is going to be a long day. Got to wait all day for that game. I can't imagine how much of a wait it is for the players. If you check out today's Packers Daily Links, again, there's an article on Greg Jennings in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. If you click, it'll take you to JS Online, article written by Tom Silverstein. And he talks about how Jennings was taken out of the first playoff game in Philadelphia against the Eagles. He writes, quote, "Jennings often needs some help from his friends, and now probably more than ever. If the playoff opener against Philadelphia is any indication, Jennings is going to draw a crowd Saturday in a divisional playoff game against the Atlanta Falcons." Silverstein goes on to write how the Falcons use cloud coverage against Jennings a lot. It's basically safety help over the top is what that means. So, I mean, they got the cornerback underneath, safety over the top if Jennings goes deep, and, you know, you take him out of the game that way. You know, personally, I think the Packers receiving corps is, among the best in the NFL, even with Donald Driver having a little bit of a down season. But we've seen what Donald Driver is capable of this season. That fantastic play. Oh, who was that against? The 49ers? I forget. Right around that time period of the year, early December, he had that fantastic play where he, you know, broke five tackles. We've seen what he's capable of, and I think the Packers wide receiver group is great. So I think if the Falcons want to take away Greg Jennings like the Eagles did, the Packers are going to find ways to score. And if they want to take away Greg Jennings, that's going to open up things for James Starks too. If you're committing two players to a Greg Jennings, you know, that's going to take away from your running game, your run defense, and James Starks and whoever's running the ball, hopefully, will be successful. And even if they're not, I mean, you know, I think the Packers are, as I said, you know, good receivers enough. They put 3-4 guys on the field at one time, and you're committing to stopping Greg Jennings. You know, Donald Driver is going to figure out a way to get open. Or Jordy Nelson, like he did against the Falcons the first game when he scored a touchdown. Nice one. Tied the game up. Fourth quarter. That can happen. Now, James Jones has to live up to his end of the bargain. And I think he will. James Jones always bounces back. He's up and down. But, you know, now's the time after he had the down game. He had the big drop against the Eagles in the first playoff game. This is going to be the game where he has a big game. You know, he's going to catch five balls for 80 yards and a touchdown or something like that. That just seems to be the way he goes. Bounces back, up and down with James Jones. Illinois Pack fan, how's the weather up there? Weather appears great. It's a cold day today. I think I got a temperature gauge right here on my computer. Looks to be 17 degrees out right now. Overcast, cloudy. No snow in the forecast, though. You saw the tweet from Jen Latta. Cold in Atlanta. It's about the same temperature here as it is in Atlanta right now. 21 degrees out there. I'm sure it'll probably get a little warmer in Atlanta as the day goes on. But yeah, the Packers will be right at home. Winter down there too. A little unseasonably cold. Of course, a couple days ago, the Milwaukee Bucks were playing Atlanta. The game had to be canceled. Or postponed, at least. They'll replay it. But yeah, interesting how they're just not prepared down there for snow, which they rarely get. And when they do, yeah, you know, what I think I read an article, the city of Atlanta has 8 snowplows or something like that. You know, which they probably spend most of their time on the main drags, getting those clear, and probably not a whole too lot of the side streets, but the city the size of Atlanta, which is huge. One of the bigger metroplexes in the United States. going along with that article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Tom Silverstein is one that accompanies it by Gary D'Amato about the wide receivers as a group, kind of a feature article. Talks about how close they've become, this group, good friends. Good article, not a whole lot to glean from it. You know, it doesn't even talk a whole lot about the game against the Falcons. I mean, mentions it, but, you know, just talks about them as a group, how Donald Driver says this is the closest group he's been with in many years of the Packers. And it says he's 9 years older than, you know, than Greg Jennings, you know, and the rest of the group. James Jones, Jordy Nelson, Brett Swain. So interesting that, you know, he would become such close friends with guys he's much older than. And even Jennings says this, that the unit they have this year is much closer than they were when he was a rookie. And the unit isn't even all that different. Driver was still around. And Ruvell Martin was, you know, known as a, you know, great player in the locker room, very friendly guy, great friends with Aaron Rodgers. But it's nice to see the Packers having such a good time, and perhaps one of the reasons they are performing so well today. No doubt about it. We're going to take a look at some of the betting props. If you happen to follow me on Twitter, we went through some of these yesterday. I said some of them, some of the prop bets, the over-unders for this game, but you know, I'm just going to throw out some of these bets, and feel free on the live blog if you want to give your predictions whether the Packers will go over under. Feel free to call as well, folks. Once again, phone lines are open, 646-797-2909. You want to talk Packers Falcons? I'm more than willing. That's what I'm here for. So anytime you want to call, phone lines are open. Put the phone number back on the screen. Anyway, over-unders. Team points, total team points on the scoreboard. Green Bay Packers, 22.5. That's the over-under. Can the Packers score more than 22.5? You know, I gave my prediction right as the show opened today. You know, I thought the Packers would win something around 2017, 22-17, right there, 22 points. I suppose I would take the under. And I think the Packers can win with going under that. You know, I don't see this being a high-scoring game because it's two good teams. And, you know, kind of surprising in, you know, in a domed environment, perhaps. Sometimes you think that running games especially can be more effective, you know, as opposed to getting bogged down in perhaps snow and bad weather sometimes in the cold. But the over-under on the Atlanta Falcons, 23.5. So even though the Falcons are favored by 3 in the spread, the over-under is 23.5, which is only 1 point more than the Packers. Does that say anything? Does that say that maybe that 3-point spread should be a little bit smaller? You know, I go, obviously, if I think the Packers can win scoring only 20 points, I think, in thinking they'll win, I definitely think you go the under for the Falcons' overall points. A.W. Beckman's going the over on the Packers and the under on the Falcons. Illinois Pack fan, under for the Falcons. Seems to be under here, thinking. Everybody says under on Atlanta. Of course, you're all Packer fans. Of course you're going to think Atlanta's going to go with the under. But I think it's going to be a low-scoring game in general. Other interesting prop bets here. Aaron Rodgers, passing yards, 290.5. 290 yards. That is a lot. you certainly capable of going over 290, but you know, just the odds of going over 290, I think, are too steep. And with the Packers having a more effective run game last week, you know, hard to say how well they do this week with the run, but the chance is there that they could be running more, which I think will definitely impact the passing game, obviously, if they do run more, meaning less chances for, you know, big plays, things like that. I mean, the Packers, all of a sudden, they do hit a long play by chance. They throw an 80-yard touchdown to Greg Jennings or something like that. Well, then it starts to get easy to hit that over. But I'm not sure I see that, though. I'm not sure I see an 80-yard touchdown in the cards against a team like the Falcons on Saturday. 290 yards. I would take the under. But again, I think the Packers can win if Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw 290 yards as well. A.W. Beckman says about the same thing, under, because the running game will be acceptable. Yeah, if the running game is acceptable, if James Starks is running for 120 yards again, Packers don't need to go to the air. Speaking of James Starks, 50.5, 50 and a half yards over under James Starks. 50.5. I don't know what to go there. You know, the first game in Atlanta this season, Packers abandoned the run because they weren't successful with it. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, if all of a sudden the first quarter the Packers aren't successful running the ball again, you know, do they abandon it? Do they go to the pass where they were very effective in the first meeting, week 12 this season? .50.5. I'll go over on James Starks. Because I think the Falcons got burned so much the first game against the pass. They're going to be loading up for that. They're going to be playing the pass, which will open up the run for the Packers. Hopefully they see some early success, so they stick with it and don't abandon it this season. 50.5 for James Starks. Aaron Biederman comments, I know it's different, but Rodgers threw for 344 yards the last game. Jamie Lee says, Mark Schlereth of ESPN thinks Starks will run for over 100. Yeah, Packer fan John says Starks will get over 80 yards in his first career TD. Yeah, James Starks hasn't even scored a touchdown yet. Can you believe that? Two pretty big games against the 49ers in the regular season, and then last week against the Eagles, ran over 80 yards both times and couldn't manage to find pay dirt in either of those games. Maybe he'll be like Tom Crabtree last week, who scored his first career touchdown. Helps out the Packers. It's inevitable. Starks has got to score sometime, right? Good time as ever on Saturday. Receiving yards, Greg Jennings, 85.5. Can Greg Jennings exceed 85.5 yards? Well, if Aaron Rodgers can exceed 290, I'd be willing to think that Greg Jennings would get a lot of those. That's a tough one, too. I'm stymied here. The calls were easy for me early on the total points and Aaron Rodgers. Now you get to James Starks and Greg Jennings here, and these are some tough calls. 85.5. I don't know where to go. How about the Falcons now? Some of their over-unders. Matt Ryan, 240. 240.5. 240.5. That is exactly 50 yards less than Aaron Rodgers. 50 yards, quite a bit. Expected to throw, or at least for the sake of gambling. But I mean, the Falcons have a strong run game as well, so Matt Ryan frequently doesn't have to take to the air a whole lot. Now, can the Packers be effective and stuff Michael Turner? That might force Matt Ryan to go to the air. But I'm confident in the Packers' defensive backs. Oh, I love the Packers' secondary. You know, I think Tremont Williams and Charles Woodson have the capability of, you know, shutting guys out. Michael Turner, 85.5. That'll be the key, whether the Packers can stop Turner. If he runs for over 85.5, could be a long day. But if the Packers hold him under 85.5, that would be a good thing. That's you know, that number right there could indicate just how well the Packers do on the day. We'll have to look at this next week, but we'll see here. I'll go on the line right now and just say, if the Packers hold Michael Turner to under 85.5 yards, they win. If he runs for more than 85.5, we'll lose. We'll see if that comes true. I'd be willing to bet that. I'd be willing to bet that. Roddy White, 80.5. 80 and a half yards. I even forget off the top of my head, but didn't the Packers hold Roddy White? They held him in check the first time, the first game, if I'm correct. He got nowhere near 80.5. And just as a side note here, they throw out some odds about which player in the entire NFL of those left in the playoffs will have the most receiving yards in the divisional round. And tied at the top is Greg Jennings and Roddy White. Had the same odds, 9-2. So what is that, 4.5-1? You know, that odds that they lead the entire NFL in receiving yards, the divisional round. John Rahorse says White had 49 yards and 5 receptions the first time they played. Yeah, much lower than that number. Going back to some of the comments on the live blog, Aaron Biederman says, under for Matt Ryan. He throws a lot of short passes and doesn't get a ton of yards. John Rahorse says over on Turner's rushing yards, but not by much. Illinois Pack fan says Clay Matthews will knock Ryan out of the first quarter, so under. There you go. There's an injury. You don't have to worry about the over-under. You got it in the bag. That's the positive way to look at it. Not that we want anybody to get injured. That we're hoping for that. While we're talking about other Falcons playmakers, I'm taking a peek back at today's Packers Daily Links again, and there's an article in the Green Bay Press Gazette from Kareem Copeland about Desmond Bishop and his matchup with tight end Tony Gonzalez. Apparently Bishop is, you know, kind of speaks of Gonzalez in very reverential terms, kind of looked up to him. They're both from California, and Gonzalez, of course, being older than Bishop. Bishop kind of looked up to him a little bit, and Gonzalez apparently didn't know who he was, didn't know who Bishop was, but you know, they're going to get a chance to face each other this time around. Possibly Desmond Bishop covering Tony Gonzalez in coverage now and again. You know, I'm sure, you know, a lot of things will change on Sunday, depending on what package the Packers in. Are they base? Are they in nickel? What personnel they have on the field? What side of the field Gonzalez lines up on? You know, it's not like Bishop's going to be having him in coverage every time. I said, you know, you can be looking for Charles Woodson to cover him perhaps as well. Gonzalez had a good game against the Packers the first time. Roddy White didn't, but Gonzalez did. getting that touchdown catch. Of course, he had the one, you know, that everybody saw was a drop ball that was called a catch that the Packers couldn't review in time. Didn't have the information, apparently, which provided an interesting side note to that first matchup this season. Head coach Mike McCarthy not concerned about the replay situation in Atlanta. I suppose the Packers have taken care of that. They've talked to the NFL, making sure that's standardized, the replays they have. Illinois Pack fan asks, any trick plays on Saturday? Was that the Atlanta game when the Packers tried the fake field goal this year? Matt Ryan to Andrew Corliss, I believe it was. I can't remember what game that was. I mean, that was a while ago now. That was over a month ago, 2 months ago or so. You know, I don't think the Packers have to resort to trickery to beat Atlanta. I suppose maybe if they get down late in the game, you might be forced to do something like that, like fake a punt if you're down in the fourth quarter. You know, but I don't think this is like the Patriots game. You know, I've said it before, that the Packers have to be perfect to go and beat a team like the Patriots on the road. They have to go out and kick a onside kick to begin the game and get it to win, which they did, and they still lost. They made mistakes in other phases of the game that day. But interesting. John Rayhorse says the fake field goal was against the Vikings. Yeah, that was against the Vikings. Boy, that was so long ago now. Seems so long ago. Aaron Biederman says Gonzalez had 6 catches for 51 yards last game, which isn't so bad. No, it isn't, but one of them went for a touchdown, though. Which, I suppose you hold him out of the end zone, it would seem a whole lot better. But no, I mean, it's not like Tony Gonzalez beat the Packers for a ton of yards in the air, though. So what is it, folks? I see some of you have thrown out your final score predictions already. If you haven't, thrown them up there on the live blog. Can the Packers win? This weekend, Atlanta Falcons on the road. I've been swayed. Like I said, going into this week, I wasn't going to pick the Packers. I've changed my mind. I'm going to go with the Packers to win. Against my better judgment, just knowing that the odds are against them to win 3 road games to make to the Super Bowl. Somewhere along the way, they've got to stumble. But I've changed my mind. I think they get it done. The Packers, I think, they're just hot lately. They, you know, the offense has shown me, even though it's been inconsistent this season, I think the Falcons' defense is the type of defense that the Packers can move the ball against. They didn't a whole lot the first meeting, but things have changed. They found James Starks, which I think he can be effective on the ground. And if he is, if James Starks is effective on the ground, you know, they can ride him. And then, all it's going to take is one play action that the Falcons will bite, and the Packers get a touchdown. Something like that would be huge. Just one play can change the look of a game so much. Illinois Pack fan, 24-21 Pack on a Crosby field goal. Turning the tables, huh? It was Atlanta that kicked the game-winning field goal with 9 seconds left the first time this season. Aaron Biederman, Green Bay 20, Atlanta 14. John Rahor, Packers win 27-20. Pretty low scoring games here. Nobody thinks the Packers are going to score 30, 40 even. Oh, Midwest fan, you broke it. 31-14. He really confident there, David. 31-14, winning by more than two touchdowns. On the road, nonetheless. Really going into the Georgia Dome and getting it done. And Packer fan John, 31-17 with Rodgers over 300 yards. Oh, it's getting better all the time here. The longer I wait, the more the predictions get just bigger and larger, and the spread even more the longer I wait. Should be a good one, though. Enjoy the game, folks, Saturday night. Thanks for joining me this morning on Cheesehead TV. We'll, of course, be back Saturday night with our live blog, as always. I'll be back after the game for a post-game show. Hopefully, we'll be breaking down a Packers win, and they'll have one more chance. Just think about it. The Packers win, they'll be playing for the right to go to the Super Bowl. And that's always encouraging. So have a good weekend, folks. It's Friday, TGIF. Hopefully you have a good Friday. Hopefully you have a good weekend. Enjoy it. Lots of good football this weekend in store. Divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Final eight, the Elite Eight, right? In the NFL. That's it, folks. I'm out of here. Have a good weekend. See you later. Go Pack, go.